Hey, Carly.
Hey, Michael.
We're back for possibly part two, if that's the order we put these in, of our series on tips and tricks and things like that when you're going to Japan.
Yeah, I'm excited. Today we're going to talk about the highlights of our trip.
I mean, the highlights are like food and the nerdy stuff we did, which we're going to cover individually. But so this is more sort of
the other stuff.
Yeah, like touristy stuff and really neat things to see and do while you're there that goes beyond the food and the nerdy stuff that we all love.
So did you want to start with the best thing we did, or you want to hold that for the end?
Yeah, let's start with the best thing. So we went to there's this little cool street called Golden Guy where you go.
That's not the best thing.
Let's start with the best thing.
That wasn't the best thing.
Tell me about the best thing.
I played with baby otters. We were in, so our Airbnb was in Ikebukuro, and we were walking down the streets there on one of our, like, close to last days, and we passed by a rabbit cafe called Mimi's Rabbit Cafe, and if you're there, you can look it up. Don't know the street it's on. It's kind of over by Sunshine City, which is a huge mall there. And there was a sign that showed a little baby otter, and otters are one of my favorite animals. And I was like, okay, well, that can't be a thing, but, you know, let's go look. And so you walk down this little flight of stairs, and we went and asked them. And in my bad Japanese, I asked if he had any otters, and he was like, yeah, of course. And my mind was blown. And they did. They had otters, little baby otters.
They put us in little smocks and they sat us down.
So, and this is one thing you'll find if you go to Japan, is that everything you have to sign up for time slots. Because there's so many people there, they have like nearly every place you eat, every place you want to go, you sign up for a time slot or you book it online beforehand, but we didn't have the option because we don't have a Japanese address. So luckily they had time that day and we signed up for a half hour slot, and it only cost us like 900 yen each, which is about $9 each. And they sat us in, so we went in and it was all younger Japanese girls.
And there was a couple of dates going there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there was a couple of dates. And you had to put on a kind of like this plastic smock and shoes and like protective wear. And they sat us in these little kind of like pens. And for the first 15 minutes, we went and played with bunnies.
Yeah, they made us play with rabbits, and we were like, these are garbage. Get rid of these rabbits.
Screw these rabbits. We know that there's otters in the next one.
Because we could see them. We could see them.
No, they were very cute, and they were fun.
They were incredibly cute.
And it was fun watching everyone else watch us do it, because I was like giggling like crazy, and all the other Japanese people in there were like laughing at us.
And I'm a big, giant, bearded white man, so
After the first 15 minutes, they let us out of this little pen and took us into another pen, and we looked inside and there were about, oh boy, at least six baby river otters. And I don't know if I've ever emitted such a high-pitched noise in my life. So they let us in, and immediately, I was wearing a skirt with tights, and they immediately just, these four otters descended upon me and were nipping at my tights and like preventing us. And you have to sit down the whole time. So I was trying not to like start crying as they were being ushered over to the side.
Crying in joy.
Yes. Yeah. Not in pain. I mean, it hurt, but whatever.
They were adorable, and they were like just little monsters. They were running crazy,
they're
jumping on top of stuff.
And they're kind of like kittens. And Michael had them running around his shoulders at one point, and they give you food that you can feed them, and like pieces of straw. You can, like, just like kittens, you play with them, and they like chase the piece of straw, and then they'll go on your lap. And then one of them fell asleep in the middle of the pen on his back, just spread eagle, and just was out. And there were otters running all over him. And he's just, nope, didn't wake up.
It was like, is he breathing? Yes, he's breathing. He's okay, breathing. He's just sleeping.
We'll probably post that picture online because Michael got a pretty good one of this little dude.
Yeah. Carly had so much fun. Enjoyed this so much.
Yeah.
And we had a few days left, and I was like, Carly, you enjoyed it so much. It's $9. Let's go back to the Otter Cafe.
And I said no.
She refused.
Which seems crazy, but it was just such an amazing experience that, like, I'm never going to have that opportunity at any other time. It was just such a good memory that I didn't want to, you know, ruin this amazing memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'm regretting it a little now, but it's still, yeah.
You still have that pure, perfect memory of playing the adorable little otters.
And they have these cafes everywhere. I mean, they don't all have otters, but they have dogs, cat cafes. We went to one cat cafe the first day we were there. That was okay. The cats are a little aloof, but
we thought it was fine until we went to this other place.
Yeah, we were like, that cat cafe sucked.
Like, they made it, you know, they gave us like ridiculously fancy non-alcoholic cocktails and things like that. And like the cats were just like, we don't fucking care. they were like, they've been pet all day long, and they were like,
they didn't want any of it. But then we were there for feeding time, and that was pretty good because it was like 20 cats just like, no, no, no. So in Japan, a lot of places do not allow you to have pets. So that's why these cafes exist. So people go and spend time with animals that they wouldn't otherwise get to.
Mm-hmm.
But check out the cafes there because they have them for just about all animals that you can think of.
I'll jump in with the thing that I was joking about, which I really kind of enjoyed more the first time I went because I had some friends that I could meet up with, and me and Carly were just solo and we're not really, believe it or not, big drinkers. So there's this amazing little area in, I believe it's in Shinjuku, called Golden Guy. And it's essentially all of these little micro bars, like little tiny micro bars. And you go in, each one has like four seats, maybe, like tops. I think a couple of them have more, but you go in and they're all different themed. And like one might be just like, you know, they only sell vodka drinks and play Japanese reggae. Like, they're like ridiculously weird niche and specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, you go with your friends and you find one that you like and, you know, with a nice bartender who will try to like have fun with you and talk to you and stuff like that.
That's the one thing I noticed, when we were walking through there, and I don't think I saw it anywhere else, but there were a lot of signs that are like, foreigners welcome, please come in and stuff, because and people that moved to Japan, I've talked to a couple of them at this point, but foreigners are never fully accepted into Japanese culture,
right.
And you're always an outsider, so we definitely did get that kind of vibe when we were there to some extent, more in some places than others, but yeah, this place had lots of signs around.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my understanding is that they're cool with you visiting. That's what I hear. If you like have some friends and you want to go get a drink, that's a super, super neat place to go and spend an evening. I would definitely recommend it.
Cool. And the reason we ended up there is because we had earlier in that night gone to the robot restaurant.
Yes.
So this is probably the most touristy destination you can go to in Japan. Because when we walked in, I turned to Michael and I said, oh, this is where all the white people are.
It was really, it
pretty much was. That's like everyone there was a tourist.
Right. Yeah, it was all Westerners, all tourists. Like, you walk around Tokyo and you do not see a lot that's a guy. That's a guy over across the street over there who is not Japanese.
But it's very homogenous. I mean, we didn't get any weird looks or anything like that, but we did stand out.
Yeah. It's cheesy. It is
gaudy.
It is is incredibly gaudy. It is all tourists.
And it was amazing.
And I would recommend everyone go do this
thing. Yeah, you cannot do Tokyo without doing this place.
So, and I guess we need to explain what is, right?
Yeah.
It is like, it's as if like you are inside of a disco ball. Like,
it's like oh, yeah.
Everything is covered in stuff.
We'll post a photo that I took when we first just got in there, and it's just every surface is covered with this glass that's not just reflecting, you know, everyone around it, but it's got like these crazy colors, and they start you up in this lounge, and then you go down three flights of stairs when the show is about to start. And it's okay. So this place is called Robot Restaurant. There is not a lot of restaurant going on at this place. Like, it is a show.
You can get food there. Don't get food
there. We didn't get food there. So you go down these three flights of stairs into this basement. And on so you walk in on your right and your left along the walls. There are like three risers of seating. And down the middle of it, there's this big kind of runway. And it's a pretty, you know, wide runway. And then a big curtain hanging up at the back. And, you know, the show rotates around. So what we saw this time, you know, may not be what is there next time. It was one of the most surreal and, like, strange things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There were four acts. The first act, which was my favorite, everyone was dressed up like yokai, which are like Japanese demons. And they did this taiko show where everyone was singing and there was lights and there was these crazy costumes and they came out on floats. So all of the shows are set on these floats that go down the middle of this runway. And Michael took a really good Instagram video of it that maybe we can link up here.
Yeah, I'll try to post it.
And it was amazing. And then the second one was almost like a Power Rangers type show where the robots had come to take over this jungle planet, but all the female jungle dwellers were protecting it. And then there's these people in giant fursuits came out and were like being all wacky.
Yeah. And, like, it's just this constant like onslaught of music and dancing and lights. And it's just like, it's insane.
The fourth act was these giant robots that came out and did a dance, like people inside of robot costumes. And then people in LED like tubing lights. It was really neat.
Yeah.
The last one was American themed.
It was indeed.
Michael took a really good photo of a video of that we can put up as well.
Like somebody suspended hanging off of the side of this float playing an electric guitar like the person in Mad Max essentially.
Yeah. It was wild. I cannot. It's a little bit more expensive, but oh god, it was amazing. Yeah.
And a lot of, so like if you look it up online, a lot of the stuff looks like it's like hyper sexualized, and it's just like, you know, girls in bikinis, and it's really I mean, it was like
a little bit
wearing like tight outfits, but it like wasn't. It wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't like exotic dancing. It wasn't like a strip show. It was just people in crazy costumes.
Doing crazy dances. Like
playing drums and guitars and doing flips. And
oh, man, it was so good.
It was really great. I highly recommend it.
A little bit more subdued, but still really neat, is we went to the Tokyo Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really cool. It went up really high, and you can kind of see all of Tokyo sprawled out before you when you get to the top.
Yeah, essentially, like, if depending on how familiar you are with Tokyo, it's like the orange Eiffel Tower.
Yeah,
like,
it looks exactly
like the orange Eiffel Tower.
With two viewing decks that you can go onto, and there's another one that's we didn't do it, but it's some kind of One Piece experience.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was like, it was full of One Piece stuff. I don't know why. It was great.
because everywhere in Japan is full of One Piece stuff, apparently.
It really is.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really neat just looking around and just getting that sort of eagle eye view of everything. I tried desperately to see Mount Fuji, which I believe I did.
We have no
Carly,
idea.
I
You say.
It is a weird obsession of mine that I just want to be in Tokyo and see Mount Fuji for some reason. Uh-huh, I don't know. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I think I saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw it.
And right at the bottom of the Tokyo Tower is Zojoji Temple, which is a temple dedicated to children. And it had all these statues with windmills, and it was very big. But it was one of my favorite shrines that we ended up visiting on the whole trip.
Yeah, it was really, really neat.
Yeah, and it was like a 5-minute walk away from the tower.
Right. Shrines in general,
are
really, really cool. It's a great experience. I would definitely, especially like after, you know, kind of getting bombarded, all your sensations getting bombarded, going to these like super peaceful, quiet places.
And that is definitely something you find, that there's always this din of noise going on in the city, but these shrines are relatively quiet.
We went to the Meiji Shrine, which the first time I went was sort of like a, you know, transformative experience for me. It was amazing. When we went, unfortunately, it was
all under construction.
It was all under construction. Right now, they're getting ready for the Olympics, which are coming, I think, in 2020.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of construction work going on for that. So that was a kind of a bummer for me. But
still in Tokyo, we also went to the Aozora Cafe, and this is a Final Fantasy themed cafe, generally like Final Fantasy that like, what is it, 11, 14? I don't know. The online.
I think it's 14.
Which was awesome. It took a lot of figuring out how to get into it, which we met a very nice girl named Minami, who helped us figure out how to make a reservation.
She was so nice.
I know, she was so nice. And like, we didn't know her at all. She just saw us struggling a little bit trying to communicate, and her English was very good, and she just came over and like helped set us the whole thing for us. It was awesome.
Right.
But
yeah, there's a weird thing. You can't just go in and buy tickets. You have to like go to like a 7-Eleven or something to
make a reservation. No, you had to go to the Lawson.
The Lawson, right.
We'll cover that in food too.
Yes, we will.
And all the food was Final Fantasy theme. I had like a tonburi omu rice, and we had bomb takoyaki, where one of the takoyaki was super wasabi spicy, but you didn't know.
And we had no idea. We had no idea it was coming. And I think you ate it like first, and you were like, "These are crazy." And I was like, "Mine's fine."
The whole thing.
I was like, "Mine is totally fine." I don't know what you're talking about.
The drinks are like insane, and they're all named after like different classes in Final Fantasy. And
going into a Final Fantasy cafe, we kind of assumed like, oh, it's gonna be like funny drinks and you know, cool decor, and have it's all themed and stuff, but like, we weren't really expecting much from the food itself.
Oh, the food was amazing.
But we're in Japan, and all the food everywhere
we'll
is
talk
amazing.
About this in our food episode, but yeah. Oh, man, it was so good. But it is difficult to get into these cafes. So do your research beforehand. If you know someone that lives in Japan, that is extremely helpful, because sometimes you need a Japanese address to do it. We tried to go to a Sailor Moon cafe, and we couldn't because we didn't have an address. But so the Aozora Cafe was, we ended up going to two of them, actually. There was one in Akihabara, and there's also one in Osaka. And we got into the one in Osaka, like, we just walked in, and there was only four of us in there.
It was not as crowded. I guess it had been there for a lot longer. And that's the one where we, like, they do, like, a raffle. And we won.
We won
the big prize.
We got this insane dessert that I'll put a picture up about. It's indescribable.
It involves a loaf of bread for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Akihabara was also, you know, one of the highlights. But we'll talk about that more in the nerd stuff episode, because it was all nerd stuff. Last one that we did from Tokyo is that we left. We took our JR rail pass for a day and went to Yokohama and went to the Ramen Museum.
Oh, so cool.
It was so cute. It was like a little Disneyland indoors, but everything was modeled after like 1920s Japan. And there were just ramen shops of all the different flavors of ramen, like the local specialties around Japan. There was a shop dedicated to each. And it was, I thought it was one of the best meals I've ever had, was this one style of ramen that we had. Michael was less amazing. Sold on it because I rave about it, but it was
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was very good.
It was only like $5 each to get in or to the ramen museum or something, and there were long lines inside to get in to eat, but the turnover happened pretty fast. So we only ended up waiting like 20 minutes to get into each one, and we went to two. So
the first one we waited like an hour.
Really? I don't remember.
Yeah, the first one was a long way. The second one we're like, oh, we'll go to this one because it's
not it didn't have long. A line.
it was jammed. It was like the place was crammed full of people, and it was just like it wasn't even like lunchtime or whatever. It was just like a, I don't know. It was very popular because the place is full of really good food.
Yeah.
And this was all locals, right? Wasn't it mostly locals?
I have no idea. It was very good, though.
Yeah.
If you want a really good bowl of ramen, the Ramen Museum in Yokohama. And it only was like a 45-minute ride there from Tokyo.
Yeah, it's really quick.
Yeah. So those were kind of the highlights of Tokyo. Moving on to, we ended up, part of the leg of our whole journey we went to was in Kyoto. Mm-hmm. And like Kyoto was really neat. I think that we needed more time and planning to be able to see everything. But there was one thing that we ended up stumbling upon that we had no idea what it was. That is one of my favorite memories of Japan now, is that we went to the Monkey Park.
Oh, yeah. We
it was so good.
Yeah, so it was like Monkey Mountain or something.
Yeah.
And we climbed up this mountain.
Yeah, and it is like, a mountain, like you're climbing a mountain. By the time we got to the top, we were like, oh boy,
this better be worth it. It's like an hour hike up to the top of the mountain, I would say. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
It was a long hike.
Our expectations were pretty low. We were like, oh, there might be some monkeys behind a thing and maybe you can feed them. Well, nope. There are monkeys
not at all.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And we're seeing all these signs walking up like, don't look the monkeys in the eye.
Don't crouch stuff down. Like
that. They're just, you go up there and they're just, monkeys are free reign just to run around. I don't think you're supposed to touch them or approach them, but like they come right up to you.
Yeah. And you can only feed them through this one gate because they can get aggressive.
Yeah.
But,
there's a little building, right? So there's a big sort of open area, which also, because it's so high up, had the most amazing, beautiful view.
Yeah.
But then there's this little sort of building, and go ahead. You go in and...
And then you can, buy apples or peanuts, and I think we ended up spending, like 1,000 yen just on buying stuff so we could feed them.
$10.
Yeah,
we kept going back to buy stuff.
Yeah, and then there was feeding time where basically all the monkeys around the area came down and got fed. So the way that this place works is that all the monkeys during the day come down to this area because tourists come and feed them, and then at night they go back up into the mountain to rest.
Yeah,
it was super cool.
It was really cool. So it's like, I guess it's like chicken wire or whatever inside. Yeah. And you can basically, the monkeys just sort of reach their hand in and you can just hand them, an apple or whatever. And you get to see like, there's like all these, you could see like, oh, that, look at that old guy. He's like the old, like the boss man.
Look at the mom with that little baby. And
oh God, there was tiny little babies. Yeah. That were so cute.
It was super neat. So definitely recommend that if you're in Kyoto. Get out there.
Also, while we were in Kyoto, we stayed at a ryokan.
We did!
Which is a traditional Japanese hotel. I think everyone should go to a ryokan at least once.
At least once. And I think that both Michael and I are kind of in the same boat, is that we are so glad that we did it. It was a really neat experience. Probably don't ever need to do it again.
Yeah, so they don't, I don't know, we could have been, I don't know how good ours was or whatever.
But it was, $300 to $400 a night.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it includes dinner. It includes an extremely fancy dinner. Your bathroom includes a sink and a toilet. There is no bath. There is no shower. Because there's an onsen there. It's a hot spring, right?
Yeah, it's an open air bath that is, I think they have the men, women, and the private ones that are up on the kind of the roof mm-hmm. of this place. So I mean, that was neat. That's not a super big draw for me, but if you want to go and get buck naked on the top of the roof of this place and have a nice soak, then all the power to you.
Way to go. Yeah, they give you what are the robes called?
Yukata.
They give you yukata. Mine really didn't fit me because I'm huge. the lady was like, "Oh, you're big. get out whatever the biggest robe is."
I think I got a pretty nice picture out of that the one that you took. So maybe we can post that up too. The meal was half 50%. Amazing, 50% extremely challenging.
Yeah. So is it kinseki? I don't know if I pronounce everything terribly, and I apologize.
And it's like 13 courses, and they bring you out one by one. And
right. It's essentially like the highest form of cuisine in Japan, and it was like one of our least favorite meals
when
we were there.
I mean, some of it was amazing, but some of it I was like, you know, you have to debone the fish and take out all of the organs, or, you know, you're actually supposed to eat them, and I couldn't, I tried, and my palate isn't so developed, I guess, it was a really neat experience.
We had a long debate over whether the little cup of white things were little like worm fish or some form of grain.
And I like the staff, I think, was like humored us pretty well because we were there was a lot of etiquette involved. And
yes,
I'm not sure we knew it all. We did read up beforehand because we were like, we want to get this right. I don't think we did it 100% right, but
I'm sure we did.
We tried.
But yeah, you sit in your hotel room, and it's the deal where, like, I don't know, the woman slides open the door and like comes in and like kneels down and puts the food on your table and then like gets up and walks out, and it's this whole like ritual.
Yeah, it was.
And it's like 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours
of eating. Yeah, it took a very long time. Yeah.
It is a very interesting experience.
Yeah. The inn workers were super, like, the people that were bringing us our food were super nice and, like, tried to explain what everything was to us. And,
And it can be a challenging experience, I think, for people who, you know, if you don't have somebody with you there that's, like, a friend who knows what's going on, you know, it's like, you have no idea what's coming. It's just something's coming.
Yeah.
And maybe it has a face. You don't know.
Yeah, I was always worried that I was going to do the wrong thing.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting experience. I would recommend doing it for a night if you can.
After Kyoto, we ended up in Osaka. And, oh, gosh, I can't say enough about Osaka. I mean, we only ended up being there for 2 days, but I wish that we had so much more time there. I loved it so much.
We loved it so much there.
So the highlight of being in Osaka was the Dotonbori Street. Was so cool.
It is really cool. It's goofy and silly, and you walk down the street
Osaka is a culture built on food, so it's kind of like the working class city, and this one street that you can go down is called Dotonbori, is all restaurants, and they all, like, not all, a lot of them have these like giant kind of statues in front of their places, like of giant moving crabs or
this one has a giant clam with Spider-Man climbing out of it.
This one has a giant dragon. This one has a giant man screaming at you. And we had okonomiyaki there, and it was so good. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think I could have spent another like 4 or 5 days just in Osaka eating.
It was really neat. And they have a lot of this, like I think I said it last time, they have a ton of, you know, most of the stuff that you'll find in Tokyo, they have there. They have all the big, like, anime, it's like the same anime shop. is there, but it's like twice the size because they just have more room.
Yeah. And so like a lot of the nerd stuff that we were looking for in Tokyo, we also found in Osaka. And we ended up going to a place and having like little One Piece biscuits and
it was
very neat. And I would have liked to have seen more of like the culture surrounding Osaka.
Right, right.
So next time we go, I'd like to spend more time there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that those were kind of the biggest beats. Yeah,
those are the big ones. So we'll dive deeper into some of the more specific things in our next couple of sessions.
Yeah. But, get ready, because we're going to talk to you about food a lot.
So thank you for joining us again for this little sort of mini thing we're putting together. If you have any questions, again, you can post it right here in the as a comment on this article, or you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm at Animated Me with the E's as 3's.
And we'll be back next time for more tips about traveling to Japan.
Arigatou gozaimashita.
And then I just wave again.